Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, July the 23rd. And this is our State Capitol Report, where we spend an hour each week examining public policy issues being debated at the State Capitol. We usually review the news from the previous week and look ahead to the week to come. These days, the major issue facing state lawmakers is the state budget. The Republican-controlled Assembly and the Democratically-controlled State Senate passed very different versions of the spending plan within the last month or so, and now it's up to a conference committee to work out the details, to come up with some sort of compromise. And we will wonder if that can be done. We'll talk about what's good about the Democratic version of the budget and what's not, and what's good about the Republicans' version of the budget and what's not, and we'll have two different perspectives on this. We are happy to have with us the chairs of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and we will welcome your questions for them at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Do you think, do you like this universal health care plan that was in the Senate's version of the budget funded through that payroll tax? Did you think hiking the cigarette tax or taxing oil companies would be a good way to raise some revenue for health care and transportation? Or do you back the Republican-controlled Assembly's version of the budget, believing that spending should be cut and no taxes should be increased at all? Do you support the cuts in funding to, say, public broadcasting? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Let me welcome our two guests. Joe Winicky is chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we also have with us Reince Priebus, chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Sorry, I screwed up your name there.
Tell people I've got a Greek and a German as a parent, so it's a tough name.
Is that what that is? All right. Reince. Thanks to both of you for being here. Let me start with you, Joe Winicky. What's good about the version of the state budget passed by Senate Democrats?
First of all, it supports public radio and television.
That's a good reason. Yeah, go ahead.
I thought I would start with that. And a small point, and I'd be interested in Reince's point of view on this, is the Assembly Republican budget does not put cuts in public funding for public radio and television. It eliminates public funding for public radio and television, which is ironic because WHA is the oldest public radio station in the United States. But getting beyond that, because I'm sure we'll bring that up at some later point in the hour, the Assembly budget, it focuses on reducing spending on basic services for the state of Wisconsin in order to cut taxes. The governor's budget and the Senate Democratic budget focus on basic infrastructure, especially in two areas: health care for the citizens of Wisconsin and public education from pre-kindergarten through college. The Democratic budget, in the governor's case, provides health insurance for every child in this state and 98% of our citizenry. The Senate budget provides for 100% support of health care and reduces premiums by $17 billion. That's, Republicans talk about the tax hikes. They forget about the premium elimination. We also fully fund public schools. We fund our technical colleges. The Assembly Republican budget, for example, eliminates all financial aid increases in this budget for people in need. It reduces veterans' remissions. It cuts the technical colleges by $13 million. It reduces funding to the university by $130 million. I mean, where do you start?
Well, let's get Reince Priebus to tell us why he thinks the Assembly Republicans passed a better budget first.
Well, first of all, I think it was pretty clear that the Assembly Republicans started this year with the goal of a no-tax increase budget. We live in one of the highest tax states in this country, and at every step, the Democrats made their priorities crystal clear, which was, number one, more government programs. more government waste, and they wanted to raise taxes as high as they needed to go to pay for it. And what Assembly Republicans did was they looked at our priorities, just like we all do, and our families. We make the tough decisions first with on the matters that need to be paid for, and then make decisions on what money remains. This budget, as far as the Assembly Republicans go, spent $1.7 billion less than the governor and $9.5 billion less than the Senate Democrats. And let me just remind the listeners that if the Senate Democratic budget was passed, we would have seen the biggest tax increase in the history of this country come into play through this government-run health care program, which would have, in year one, increased taxes by $15.2 billion, with a B, and that's just in year one. And that's, I believe, a pretty conservative estimate, because in reality, the Senate Democrats really cannot define who it is that will be eligible for this program that they pass, this health care program, because they can't really define who would be qualified as gainfully employed under some of the details of this program, and it would be a runaway train.
Yeah, let me.
Now, as far as your,
I need to hold you there for now. We'll get the initial opening statement out of the way, and then we'll go into more depth after this weather break. Talking with the chairs of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and the Republican Party of Wisconsin about state budget issues, and we'll be back right after this. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the State Capitol Report. Every Monday in the 7 o'clock hour, we review the news of the week from under the State Capitol Dome and look forward to the week to come. These days, pretty much the only activity is the state budget. A conference committee will be getting to work to try to work out the differences between the Republican version of the state budget passed by the Assembly and the Democratic version of the state budget passed by the state Senate. We have with us Joe Winicky, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and Reince Priebus, chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, debating and discussing the two versions of the state budget, which one is better and why. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions for both of them. Joe Winicky, let me get you to respond to Mr. Priebus's last comment that the Democrats in the state Senate passed a budget that included the biggest tax increase in state history with this $15 million or so payroll.
Billion,
I'm sorry, payroll tax.
Well, it's a bunch of hooey. What the Republicans constantly forget in this debate is that while there would be an assessment on every individual and business, they also would have an elimination of their current health care premiums. So, yes, there would be about a $15 billion assessment to pay for health care in this state, but right now it would save $17 billion in what people are paying in premiums, which I count as a $1.8 billion savings to taxpayers. Now, the Republican budget, when Reince talks about a $1.7 billion tax hike, that was those were assessments on big oil companies like ExxonMobil and their $40 billion in profit, big tobacco like RGR Nabisco, and an assessment on large hospitals that, because they eliminated that, we're going to lose $400 million in federal funding. There is a role for government, and the Republicans don't seem to understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
go ahead.
First of all, the $17 billion that Joe talks about, the Democrats, when they passed this universal health care, government-run health care program, they didn't even have a fiscal bureau number in their caucus when they passed it. This $15.2 billion payroll tax, number one, is just an estimate, because the Democrats and John Erpenbach himself last week admitted that he could not actually tell us who was going to qualify for this government-run health care program. Any person crossing the border, any person who's pregnant, any person who is, quote-unquote, gainfully employed, which no one knows what that means. It could mean selling Amway and filing a self-employment tax return with the state. Any one of those groups of people can qualify. The $15.2 billion is year one, and it's a jobs killer. Now, as far as what Joe said about this big oil tax, that big oil tax is going to be a big-time grab in your wallet right at the pump. As soon as you tax big oil, it's going to hit the pumps. And anyone that doesn't think that if you tax an oil company and isn't going to get to the pump, I think is speaking of Huey, Joe, that's what I would
Did you say a moment ago, Reince, that we shouldn't give health care coverage to pregnant women?
Not at all. But I don't believe that it's the taxpayer's responsibility in this state to pay for, out of their own payroll tax, any pregnant person that decides to cross the border and cash in on this so supposed drum tight program.
Well, you are just simply wrong in that. You are just simply wrong on the facts on that.
You cannot define who could qualify for this program. John Erpenbach can't define it. You can't either, Joe.
What about this big oil tax?
Obviously, you can't either.
Well, you know why? Because it's a poorly written bill, and nobody can define who can qualify, not even the Fiscal Bureau. So, no, I'm no different than you, and I'm no different than John Erpenbach.
Oh, we're very different. We're very different.
On deciding who can qualify under that bill, Joe, no.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
By the way, why does the Republican Party and the Assembly Republicans hate public broadcasting?
Well, let's get into that later. Let me have you address the, because I do want to talk
Good
about
try.
That, and I hope our listeners do too. You said that this big oil tax and big tobacco tax were, good things, Joe, but the big oil tax, Ryan says, will be passed on to me.
Well, under the governor's proposal, that if they did that, the executives at ExxonMobil and British Petroleum could potentially be going to jail. Now, they poo-poo that, but why do you want to protect these guys? Why do you want to protect big tobacco? Why do you want to protect big hospitals and lose $450 million in federal funding that can be used to help children and poor people have health care access? I don't understand. That $450 million is going to go to New York or somewhere now.
Reince?
First of all, we don't want to protect oil. We want to protect taxpayers. And when gas prices are rising to some of the highest levels that we've seen, I don't believe that the governor can write whatever bill the governor wants to write as far as the fact that he's going to punish oil companies if they pass the tax on the consumers. But the governor cannot write economics. And the governor may want to rewrite economics, but he can't do it. And as long as there's no fail-safe way to make sure that these taxes don't hit the consumer, the Republicans are going to be opposed to them. And I think it would be pretty interesting to see these Democrats who are voting for the supposed oil tax to try to convince the voters that they somehow aren't going to end up paying for this tax at the pump one way or the other, no matter what assurances the governor may make.
Why shouldn't big oil that makes its profits off a decent highway system help pay for that highway system? And what's your rationale for supporting RGR Nabisco and eliminating the tobacco tax that would have been used for health care?
First of all, the tobacco tax, when you tax products, Joy, it's my opinion that when you create government programs, you tax tobacco products. In 5 years, 10 years, when the tax amount of money that you planned on being there isn't there, you've got a government-run program, you don't have the money to pay for it, and then guess what happens? We have to raise taxes for all the rest of the people that don't smoke to end up paying for the programs that were put in place to begin with.
Now, because people
and
are going to quit smoking,
what you end up having is higher taxes.
Well, part of the goal of a higher tobacco tax is for people to quit smoking.
Right.
I mean, it's,
and then what do you do? And then
you save all kinds of
and fewer taxes because you going into the pot, and you've got these government programs
because,
that have been created.
Right.
Then how do you pay for them?
Because when you reduce the smoking rolls in this state, you reduce the cost to government of their health care programs. Because smoking is by far and away the number one reason why people get sick. So we save hundreds of millions of dollars in health care. Ryan, that's basic economics.
Let me get some callers in on this because a lot of people, we have a lot of callers online. Chris in Columbus is first. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how you doing, Joy? Great topic. Love the show. And I got to say right offhand, I'm a union member, but I'm also a former chairman of the Oshkosh College Republicans, and I think both of them have got it wrong. As a common working man, as a state employee, I'm going to get hit by either one. The Republican budget is taking money away from me on the front end by raiding the employee compensation fund to, you know, make a tax increase budget, which in principle is a good thing. The Democratic plan is going to take money away from me on the back end by raising my taxes to high heaven. And so then, you know, yeah, they're going to give me a better raise, but they're going to take more than I take in a raise. You know, so I lose under both positions. Why can't we just get a decent budget that takes care of the basic needs of the state without getting all into all this other stuff, the roads and the health care and the hospitals and the tobacco tax and the gas tax and all this frivolous BS that has no business being in the state budget? Mm-hmm. It's just not supposed to be there.
All right.
Fund the roads, fund the schools, keep the prisoners locked up, and that's it. Quit messing around with all this stuff that just causes more headache than it's worth.
Yeah, well, who wants to start with that? Joe Winicky?
Well, the first point is the caller is right that the Assembly Republican budget does cut for the average state employee. There's a 5%, they eliminate the compensation reserve, so there's no money for a raise, but then they also require non-unionized public employees to pay the first 5% of their income to pay for their pensions, and they require a 10% copay on health care. So the average state employee is going to get about an 8% pay cut under this budget. The problem with what Chris is talking about just funding basic programs is we're trying to fund basic programs, and, you know, and in some cases, there are many other people in the state that would disagree with Chris about the need for some sort of health care reform, for making sure that tuition is affordable at the university, and to fully fund our K-12 programs costs hundreds of millions of dollars in new money every year. The money doesn't come from free.
Yeah. Let me give the next minute or so that we have before our news break to Rince Priebus. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, the Assembly Republicans understand that the compensation reserves, in effect, are really placeholders in the biennial budget because clearly the Office of State Employment Relations bears the responsibility of negotiating state employee contracts. Okay, so that's first of all. And Republicans have traditionally backed the state employee union contracts negotiated by the Office of State Employment Relations. So, it was interesting when people complain about everything else that's being debated, but as long as their own issues are being taken care of, they're happy, and that's part of the problem. As far as this tuition cap that Joe just mentioned, or the cost of tuition that Joe just mentioned, the Republicans put a tuition cap in place to help students that are at our UW schools. And as far as K-12 education, the Republicans actually funded education at a level of $16 million more than this governor proposed. We were funding education this time around at $12.2 billion. Which is the largest amount in the history of our state.
We're going to have to start finding efficiencies. We're going to talk about the education and how the both budgets deal with education issues coming up after this news break. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Monday morning, July the 23rd. In our state capitol report this week, we are talking with the leaders of Wisconsin's Republican and Democratic parties about the state budget, or at least the proposed state budgets, one passed by the democratically controlled state Senate, the other by the Republican-controlled state assembly, two versions that are very different from each other, wondering which version is better and what should stay and what should go in the compromise that a conference committee will have to hammer out. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We're talking with Rince Priebus, chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and Joe Winicky, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And we're going to go right to the phones to have John in Park Falls bring up our next topic. Hi, John, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy, and good morning to your guests. I could talk about a lot of things regarding this budget situation, but I'm going to focus on K-12 education. I'm on the school board in Park Falls, and we've had serious problems here, as many small, in particular small school districts have. We had a referendum that failed, so we've had to make major cuts in school programs, every single one of which hurts. And we are now talking about consolidating school districts with several of the smaller ones around us. This is also difficult because inevitably it means that small towns are going to lose their schools, which are kind of a focus point for the town. I am concerned that the Assembly bill, the Assembly Republicans bill, for one thing, it calls for an allowance of increase in spending per pupil by district by about 25% below what the Senate passed, which means that we will not be able to raise the necessary revenue to keep up with these expenses, which will lead to further property tax raises. And also, it just doesn't make sense to me that the Republicans in the Assembly wanted to expand the voucher program in Milwaukee County and extend it into Racine County, using state general funds to pay for private schools while at the same time cutting funds for public schools. Mm-hmm. I recognize there were some things in the Assembly Republicans bill, like their aid to transportation, which is very much welcome in a rural district like ours where we spend a lot of money on buses. And that would certainly be helpful. But most of the rest of their approach to education just strikes me as crazy. I always repeat what Assembly Representative Gary Sherman said. He said that if I were Ann Coulter, I would ask, why do you hate our kids?
Oh, well, Reince Priebus, do you want to answer that?
Sure. Well, I don't really understand where the caller's coming from, because in reality, you heard that we were cutting education funding when funding levels that were proposed were practically the same between the Assembly budget and Governor Doyle's budget, with the Republicans actually spending more on K-12 education. And what we're talking about is the total education spending is a difference of about $6.25 billion for the Assembly Republicans and about $6.22 billion for Governor Doyle. So the Republicans actually increased funding by $16 million more than what Governor Doyle proposed. So, we, like I said before the break, in Wisconsin, we are spending $12.2 billion in this budget on K-12 education, which is the largest amount of money given to K-12 education in this state's history. No one hates kids, but I do think that the call's indicative of the fact that no amount of money is going to, I believe, solve all of our problems. I believe that at some point, when you're spending the largest amount of money than you've ever spent in the history of your state, that we need to start looking at inefficiencies. We need to start looking at a lot of different things. And, yes, perhaps consolidation in some cases. I'm not sure what all the issues are up in Park Falls, but I do know that we have a lot of inefficiencies. And without going too much further, I would just say that as far as private school vouchers go, they're working in Milwaukee, and I think they could work in Racine as well.
Joe, you've been kind of shaking your head over some of the numbers here. So,
I don't know where this is coming from. The Assembly Republican budget cut $130 million from the governor's base level to fund general school aides. That's a fact. And what that $130 million cut is going to mean is the loss of about 1,700 potential teachers because of the Republican-imposed revenue caps on local schools. Now, I have a question for the caller. John, how do you control transportation costs when diesel fuel is over $3 a gallon, when it was $2 a gallon a year ago? How do you control your health care costs when they go up 10% or 15% every year? And don't you think it's fair that a teacher gets some sort of pay increase?
I think that teachers deserve to get a decent pay increase, absolutely. In fact, I don't think teachers are paid according to what they should be paid. As far as the cost of transportation, it's a puzzlement to me why in some cases municipal buses, let's say in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. are tax-exempt as far as their fuel costs, but school buses are not. There are things like that really don't make any sense at all. And as far as the caps are concerned, what I was discussing before was the 25% drop in what the Senate Democrats had passed as far as what schools are allowed to
increase. Yes, the allowable spending hike.
Spending per pupil. And that directly affects these caps that were put in place back in the 90s. And that's what we're suffering under.
John, do you have any more inefficiencies?
Go ahead.
Do you have any more inefficiencies, John?
I mean, this is not surprising that the school budget should be higher than it was last year. Of course it is. How many national budgets or state budgets go down? No, certainly not education. It costs more every year, as you said. Mm-hmm. Now, you're talking about, you're pushing on this idea that somehow there are efficiencies that could be made. Let me tell you, the school district that I'm involved with has been making efficiency cuts every year for the last 10 or 15 years. We were frozen in place in 1993 by the legislature, and at a very low level. We were a very low spending district per pupil as it was, and because of the way that the cuts were put in place, we were frozen there, and we've been battling against that ever since. It's a lousy system. It needs to be completely revamped and replaced, and this budget doesn't do it, and it doesn't give us the freedom to do what we need to do. Well, let me tell you about the cuts that we're making. We've got eight teachers out of our high school, which is a major cut for a small school. We're closing down the swimming pool. Next year there will be no marching band. I mean, these are major programs to us.
I appreciate John your input on this, but we need to get on to some other issues, and I need to get Reince Priebus to respond to those.
First of all, the revenue caps early 1990s was a bipartisan measure. Both Democrats and Republicans voted for that. That's a fact. So as far as Republican-controlled, and you know what? If it wasn't for those caps and if it wasn't for the QEO, our property tax burden would be so far through the roof that I would venture to guess that it would be even more of an issue than it is today, although it is a pressing issue. Now, as far as this K-12 education funding goes, what I'm referring to is what the governor proposed. This governor proposed a funding level for education at $6.22 billion. Republican Assembly increased Governor Doyle's proposal by $16 million. So if you're upset with the Assembly Republicans, then I would guess that you'd be more upset with the governor.
Yeah, Joe Winicky, a final word on this topic, and we're going to move on.
Reince is just wrong. Let's move on.
Oh, well, check the Fiscal Bureau.
Gladly.
Don't listen to Joe or I. Just go check the numbers with the Fiscal Bureau.
And why are we on?
Joe, do you? What do you think about expanding the voucher program?
Well, I think it's a horrible idea. I think the caller was 100% right. We're cutting $130 million out of K-12 education. We're cutting $13 million out of the technical colleges. And we're cutting $125 million out of our university system in the Assembly Republican budget. And then they're expanding money to private and parochial schools. Yeah. It's just wrong.
What about the cut to eliminate funding for the UW Law School that's in the Assembly budget, Reince Priebus? Is that a good idea?
Well, I think what Mr. Lassay was trying to do is make a point about lawsuits and out-of-control litigation in the state of Wisconsin. Now, I think we both know that there are a couple things in the budget that probably aren't going to make it through the conference committee, and those are some of the things that we're talking about today. I would venture to guess that that's probably one of them, and I think he was just making a point, and he made his point, and probably move on from there.
Yeah. Joe Winicky?
That's not how government works, and that's not how the law works. The fact is that Mr. Lassay's proposal to eliminate funding for the law school, just like when the Assembly Republicans eliminated all funding for public radio and television, if the Assembly Republican budget passes, there were 51 Republicans who voted for that, and it would become the law of the state. So this idea that this was just some axe to grind, if the Assembly Republican budget passes intact, that is the law of the state, as is the elimination of public radio and television funding.
Reince Priebus, do you think that the funding for public radio and television will be restored? Is that just another bargaining chip?
No, I think that's a different issue. I think that the programming on public television and radio should have to compete in the free market on their own merits and not on a taxpayer's dime. you know, I think that there may have been a time for taxpayer-subsidized television and radio programming, but, you know, we're in a day and age now when the typical household can choose from hundreds of programming alternatives and channels, and, you know, the question should be, why should taxpayers be forced to subsidize just one of them? Look at Wisconsin Eye. That's a perfect example of why taxpayers need not subsidize television and radio stations. It's funded solely by, you know, organizations and individuals who voluntarily contribute, and I think we all know that Wisconsin Eye is probably going to be a pretty successful program with a gavel-to-gavel coverage of the Assembly and the Senate.
Let's take our weather break and then maybe talk a little bit more about funds for public broadcasting. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, I'll talk with a guest about the comments last week of Elizabeth Edwards, wife of presidential hopeful John Edwards, who in an interview said that Hillary Clinton might not be the best advocate for women who is running for president. She says John Edwards would be the candidate for women. We'll talk a little bit about gender and politics coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now we are talking with the two chairs of the political parties in Wisconsin, Joe Winicky, the chair of the Democratic Party, and Reince Priebus, chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, debating what's in the two proposed state budgets, one passed by the Assembly Republicans, the other by the Senate Democrats. And we're welcoming your participation too at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. You know, we talked a little bit about this proposed cut of the elimination of funding for the UW Law School that's in the Assembly budget and the proposal to eliminate funding for public broadcasting in the Assembly budget. Joe Winicky, you want to just talk about funding for the university system in general?
Absolutely. Yeah. 51 out of 52 members of the Assembly, one Republican did not vote for this budget, voted to eliminate the law school funding, voted to eliminate the funding of public radio and television. The chair of the Republican Party just reiterated Republican support for that. First point is, if you like things like public radio and believe that we should fund the law school, vote Democratic in 2008. Now, on this notion that the UW system is being protected, in this budget, they cut $125 million from the campuses. They eliminated all increases in financial aid, which the financial aid has historically gone up by the same level as tuition. And then they cap tuition, which means that the UW campuses have to cannibalize from within to cut, you know, they can't raise tuition to cover the cost. So they'd get less funding. That is a prescription to cut, 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 cut. And then they eliminated funding for the GI Bill for veterans. It's a lot of chutzpah.
Yeah. Reince Priebus?
Well, first of all, the Democrats say the Republican budget hurts students, but the Republicans are the ones who proposed the tuition cap to help keep higher education affordable in Wisconsin. The GOP budget includes a four-year 4% tuition caps. Democrats say, and you heard a Republican budget cuts UW funding, but Republicans actually increased funding by 3% or $62 million. Now, you know, how many taxpayers out there would get a 3% increase and call it a cut? Republicans funded the academic priorities of this state. So, you know, I don't know where some of this stuff comes from. I guess, you know, if you're increasing funding, as the Republicans did, obviously the UW system is getting more money this year in this budget than they did in the budget previous. And, you know, there may come a point in Wisconsin, it just might happen, that people are going to say that we cannot continue to fund and fund and fund and cry for more money and more dollars. There may become a time when we have to start looking at how to save money, how to not duplicate services, and where we can find inefficiencies in our UW system, which I can assure you there are plenty to find. We should start doing that.
This is a basic role of government, Joy. I mean, now we're supposed to start eliminating the university, I guess.
No,
the Republicans cut $125 million, Reince, from the
Someone has to be the gatekeeper. Somebody has to look at where we can save
when
money.
You cut
and if all you do is keep the spigot open at at whatever rate the people cry for the spigot to be open, you will never find a reason to start finding inefficiencies and start saving money. That's what we need to do in Wisconsin.
Okay, Joe, your point?
Well, I mean, this is a $125 million reduction from what the governor proposed. And then they have the audacity to cap tuition.
We're not working off the governor's budget.
I don't care what you're working off of.
We are working off of a base budget, and we are increasing funding to the UW system by 3%.
Oh,
I believe that's plenty of money, and that the UW system
everything's inefficient. Everybody's doing wrong, and you're saving the world. I know.
By the way, the UW system president Kevin Riley will.
We're trying to save the world from Democrats in Madison who don't believe that it's time in this state, when we're one of the highest tax states in the country, to start looking at ways of saving money and not increasing taxes.
Well, the basic way you did that was by
what
you did is you put $900 million in spending into the next biennium and called it a tax cut.
Oh, okay.
Real smart.
Well, if you want to start talking about fund raids, I think your governor is the king.
Let's go to the phones, and let me mention that we'll talk more about University of Wisconsin system funding on Thursday after 8 o'clock when Kevin Riley will be my guest. Matt in Kenosha is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'd just like to ask Mr. Winicky, how can we expect the state of Wisconsin give them $15.2 million more of our tax dollars when they can't manage a nursing home in Union Grove for the veterans? That place is a mess. Wasteful spending, as well as the $80 million it's not every year. They can't even manage that. $80 million of our tax dollars have gone to businesses that is unaccountable.
What's your question for
Joe? They want to take $15.2 billion more of our tax dollars, put it in the state, and give them control of it when they can't manage a little bit they have already.
He's talking about the universal health care proposal.
Well, I think something to do with, I think it's the Southern. Are you talking about Southern Center? What are you talking about?
I'm not sure what.
I think he's talking about the universal health care program proposed by the Democrats, and that the fact that the government can't run, at least that's what he's saying, can't run a state-run nursing facility. And how is the government going to run a $15.2 billion government-run health care program? I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah, so Joe Winicky, the government can't run health care
efficiently. I know government screws up a two-car funeral. I've heard all these lines before. I don't believe it. I think government has a basic role to provide public education for people, to provide adequate health care for people, to have decent roads and decent parks and clean water. And if the Republicans think that's all bad, let them.
Let me bring
it in. Well, first of all, as far as this government-run health care program, I do believe that the Democrats made a massive error in judgment in coming up with a program in 3 or 4 days, passing it through the state Senate. You know, we haven't heard word one from the governor. He hasn't supported this program publicly. The Assembly Democrats didn't propose an amendment to the state budget to include this program of the Senate Democrats, because I would venture to guess none of them wanted to go on record on being in favor of the biggest tax increase in not just the state's history, but this country's history. And since they can't define who would be eligible for this government-run program, they can't even put a dollar figure on it, but conservative estimates show
the Assembly Democrats did not. The Assembly Democrats thought that the Assembly Republican budget was so bad, they didn't propose any amendments on anything, right? So let's not.
A good cop-out, but, you know, they should have went on record. If they thought it was such a good campaign theme, they should have went on record on it so they could stick it on their flyers in 2 years and say that they were in favor of this government-run health care program.
This is a 15-second response. The Democrats, whether it's the governor's budget or the Senate budget, provide between 98 and 100% coverage for the people of this state for health care. The Republican budget does none of that. The only thing it talks about besides cutting things for, like, foster care and eliminating all increases of everything is they want to take care of companies like Golden Rule Insurance on health savings accounts, which is fine if you're healthy, wealthy, and young.
Yeah. Right, and the Democrats want to tax jobs on a government-run health care program, and they want everyone to qualify, including everyone coming over the borders and illegal immigrants. and whoever else wants to try to qualify. And you can't argue it because not even John Erpenbach can define.
So under your argument, you can create every boogeyman. Come on.
Let me jump in. We only have a couple of minutes left. The universal health care, is this, Joe Winicky, just a part of a fake budget used for negotiation? Or what do you predict when it comes to the conference committee?
Well, you know, it's funny because I've never heard until this year this notion that these budgets aren't real. Whether it's the Senate, the governor's budget, the Senate budget, or the Assembly budget, these are real documents and they show the priorities of the political parties in this state. And they're not phony. And right now, any of the things that are on the table could become law. And I think rather than say this stuff's phony, it's very real. I think it's going to be a long, long, hot summer. Yeah. But I hope that grown-ups eventually prevail because we have to be able to set levies for schools. We have to set tuition levies. And eventually the government's going to go broke.
Yeah, 30 seconds for you, Reince Priebus, your prediction?
Well, first of all, we're willing to work with the Democrats as long as they're willing not to propose or agree to any new tax increases. I think that the differences can't be any more clear. You've got Democrats on one hand proposing a doubling of our taxes in the state, and you've got the Assembly Republicans saying no more taxes in one of the highest tax states in the country. I could go through a list of 10 different taxes.
We don't have time for that. But
and the Assembly Democrats have bitten off more. I mean, the Senate Democrats have bitten off more than they can chew here.
We will. I hope have both of you back another time to continue this discussion. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.